So, yat that which, tat such, Brahma param param Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, shukshmam spiritual, beyond all material conceptions, asunyam not impersonal or void, sunya kalpitam imagined to be void by less intelligent men, Bhagavan the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev Krishna, iti thus, yam whom, grinanti sing about, he indeed, satvata pure devotees. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev Krishna, is extremely difficult to understand for unintelligent men who accept him as impersonal or void, which he is not. The Lord is therefore understood and sung about by pure devotees. Reading the verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev Krishna, is extremely difficult to understand for unintelligent men who accept him as impersonal or void, which he is not. The Lord is therefore understood and sung about by pure devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Varanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajnam avadyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabjate. The absolute truth is realized in three phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the origin of everything. Brahman is a partial representation of Bhagavan. And Vasudev, the Supersoul, living everywhere and in everyone's heart, is also an advanced realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one comes to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev Sarvamiti, when one realizes that Vasudev is both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman, he is then in perfect knowledge. Krishna is therefore described by Arjuna as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. The words Param Brahma, refer to the shelter of the impersonal Brahman and also of the all-pervading Supersoul. When Krishna says, Taktvadeham Punarjanma Naiti Mameti, this means that the perfect devotee, after perfect realization, returns home back to Godhead. Mahaj Kadvanga accepted the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because of his full surrender, he achieved perfection. Om Agyanati Minandasya Gananjana Shakya Chakshura Nilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this particular verse is very wonderful. It explains the essence, the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his three different phases. When I was first introduced to Krishna consciousness, I remember Rupa Vilas telling me the story of a man who went to see a train. He'd never seen a train before. And so he went, and he was into, from a distance in the hills, he looked down and he could see a light coming. So this light was coming and snaking through the hills. So he thought, oh, the train is like a light. And then he went on a little further and he got closer and he saw the train, he saw the cars and so forth. And he experienced that the train had many different compartments and had an engine and so forth and ran on tracks. So he understood a little more. Then he went closer and he actually got into the train and he took a ride in the train. So these different three different ideas of proximity to the Supreme Lord, these give us, or to the train, these give us an appreciation of that particular type of vehicle. So as we approach the Supreme Lord, we come closer and closer, we see that he is not just an effulgence, but we go beyond that effulgence. What is the cause of that effulgence? And we see the Supreme Personality of God at Bhagavan. The Lord also expands himself into the Paramatma. He's all pervasive throughout the entire universe, in every atom, and in the heart of every living entity. So these expansions, these different parts of the Supreme Lord, are all complete and whole. However, he doesn't relish in particular pastimes in the Brahman. In the Brahman, of course, we're in the Brahman now. We're dealing with the effulgence. This is the effulgence of the Lord. He doesn't relish particularly these pastimes. Sometimes he enjoys coming to fight. Sometimes he enjoys different rough and tumble pastimes here in the material world. But for the most part, his pleasure is in the spiritual world where there are no demons. When we were in Mumbai, we were talking about the verse came up about Jai and Vijay and how they had desired to fight with the Lord because they saw the Lord was desiring to fight. And so they made an arrangement, or the Lord made an arrangement, where they would actually insult the devotee and the devotee would curse them. So they had the opportunity to come here to the material world as demons, and give them the choice to come as devotees or demons. And they were able to fight with the Lord and satisfy the Lord's desire for chivalry, for chivalrous pastimes. So like this, Krishna serves many different purposes. But primarily the material world, this, the purpose of this material world is a prison house for those souls who do not want to, serve the Lord. They don't want to serve the Lord. They want to be served themselves. So this is our situation. We're trying to renounce this idea of being controller and enjoyer. Our situation is simply that we have made a great mistake. In the sojourn of eternity, we've decided to come to the material world and separate ourselves from the Supreme Lord. If you ignore someone, if you know some person and so forth, and you have some relationship with them, and then all of a sudden you start to ignore that person, what happens is that you fall into ignorance of that person. You don't know what's going on with that person, where he's been, what he's doing, where he's going. So this is our situation with Krishna. We chose to ignore Krishna, and we fell into ignorance of Krishna. So Krishna consciousness is about revitalizing our memory of the Supreme Lord, revitalizing our understanding of who the Lord is and what he wants from us, what he desires for us, and how to regain and achieve the Lord's desires for us. We have so many desires here in the material world. Some are fulfilled and some are unfulfilled. But whether they're fulfilled or not, we remain unsatisfied because this particular position that we're in is not our permanent position. We cannot be satisfied here. We cannot be in any way, complete. So I wanted to read, there's some very nice statements in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. In the purport here, it's mentioned Param Brahm. So I wanted to read a little bit about this in the Bhagavad Gita in the introduction. Actually, it refers to several verses in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was in a relationship with the Lord as a friend. Of course, there is a gulf of difference between this friendship and the friendship found in the material world. It's not like Facebook or something, a friend on Facebook, not like that. This is a transcendental friendship which cannot be had by everyone. Of course, everyone has a particular relationship with the Lord. and that relationship is evoked by the perfection of devotional service. But in the present status of our life, we have not only forgotten the Supreme Lord, but we have forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Every living entity, every living being, out of many, many billions and trillions of living beings, has a particular, unique relationship with the Lord eternally. That is called Swarup. By the process of devotional service, one can receive that Swarup, and that stage is called Swarup Siddhi, perfection of one's constitutional position. So Arjuna was a devotee, and he was in touch with the Supreme Lord in friendship. How Arjuna accepted this Bhagavad Gita should be noted. His manner of acceptance is given in the 10th chapter. Arjuna uvacha param brahma param dhamma pavitram paramam bhavam purusham sashvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibhum abhus tvam rishaya sarve devashir naradastata asito devalo vyasa sayam chaiva bhavishime sarvam eta dritam manye yanmam vadasit keshava nahi te bhagavan vyaktim vidur deva na dannava. Arjuna said, "You are the supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth, and the eternal divine person. You are the primeval God, transcendental and original, and you are unborn and all-pervading beauty. All the great sages like Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas proclaim this of you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the gods nor the demons, O Lord, know thy personality." After hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna accepted Krishna as Param Brahma, the Supreme Brahman. Every living entity, every living being is Brahman, but the Supreme Being, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Brahman. Param Dharma means that he is the supreme rest or abode of everything. Pavitram means that he is pure, untainted by material contamination. Purusham means that he is the supreme enjoyer. Divyam, transcendental. Adidevam, the supreme personality of Godhead. Ajam, the unborn. And Vibhum, the greatest, the all-pervading. Now we may think that because Krishna was a friend of Arjuna, Arjuna was telling him all this by way of flattery. But Arjuna, just to drive out this kind of doubt from the minds of the readers of the Bhagavad Gita, substantiates these phrases in the next verse when he says that Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only by himself, but by authorities like Narada, Astita, Devala, Vasudeva, and so on. So these are great personalities who distribute the Vedic knowledge as it is accepted by all the Acharyas. Therefore, Arjuna tells Krishna that he accepts whatever he says to be completely perfect. Sarvam etad ritam manye, I accept everything you say to me to be true. Arjuna also says that the personality of the Lord is very difficult to understand and that he cannot be known even by great demigods. This means that the Lord cannot even be known by personalities greater than human beings. So how can a human being understand Sri Krishna without becoming his devotee? So this is our position, to become the devotee of the Supreme Lord. Then we can enter into understanding of how great he is, how wonderful he is, what his transcendental activities and pastimes are. And here we are celebrating this wonderful pastime of Kartik, of the Radha Damodar month. The business of the devotees is to enjoy these festivals in relation to Krishna. Everything in relationship to Krishna we can enjoy. Those things that are not in relationship to Krishna we have no interest in. We have no enjoyment. No pleasure comes from them. So our concern is to, just as everyone is, so many people are coming this morning, is to foster within our community and especially within our own hearts the feeling of obligation, the feeling of desire to satisfy the Supreme Lord in some way, shape, or form. Now, the benefits of this activity, this Kartik month, are great. And I wanted to jack up my computer here, boot it up, and go over a few of the details of the advantages of the Kartik month. In Kartik, there's an opportunity to take a vrata. A vrata is a vow, where you encourage yourself by taking on some additional austerity or some activity. There's two different types of austerities. One is to renounce something, and the other is to embrace something. Sometimes the renunciation of our time spent in sense gratification seems rather challenging. But if we replace that business of sense gratification with a Krishna conscious activity, with Krishna conscious services and activities, then we easily make advancement, and we easily get past the difficult stage of considering what is an austerity, what is difficult, what is hard. Too much austerity. What does it do? It hardens the heart. So our business in Krishna consciousness is to soften the heart. That's our objective. We don't want to. We don't want to. Oh, my computer's decided to go in a blink. That's wonderful. I think I'm catching the online stuff going on in here. Oh dear. Well, so much for Kartik brothers. I was online in Bombay, and I was looking at some different statements about Kartik. And one of them was from one Swami at the Gaudiya Math, and he had a presentation about Kartik and the advantages he was offering to take people into his math and give them shelter at a hospice going on there for the hospice ashram for the month of Kartik. And here it is. And so he was advertising that if you perform these vratas, you perform these different vows, here it is. Kartik is the best, the purest of purifiers, the most glorious of all months. Kartik month is particularly dear to Lord Sri Krishna. This month is full of bhakti vatsalya. Any vrata, even the smallest, will yield huge results. The effect of performing a Kartik vrata lasts for 100 lifetimes, whereas ordinary vratas only last for one lifetime. So I was just struck by this. Is this our objective, you know, to have a vrata that gives us a benefit for 100 lifetimes? Or are we, as I was always given to understand, of the exit philosophy, that our idea was, let's get out of here as quickly as possible. We're not just interested in storing up some punya or some pious credits. Our interest is to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada has assured us that by this chanting process, this chanting of Hare Krishna 16 rounds and the following of the regular principles, that we can go back to Godhead. And this is not just, of course, for the Prabhupada disciples, but this is for all the disciples, all the devotees, the grand disciples, the great grand disciples, and so forth, in perpetuity. This is going to be our saving grace in this particular age of Kali. So we take a little amusement here that this is being offered as a residual for 100 lifetimes. We really are not interested in that. Anyway, there are five different steps, five different activities are glorified in the month of Kartik, and one of them is staying awake, especially in class, but also maybe late at night, staying awake a little later, and early morning bath, which we all do, worship of Tulsi, which we do if we come to Mangalarti and perhaps at home, offering lamps, and performing austerities. So the first four of those are fairly easy. Well, maybe not staying awake, that's a little hard, but then performing austerities, one can take up, one should practice brahmacharya. You should give charity and perform homa and japa. One is advised to give up eating beans, kalami, saka. What is kalami? What is that? Anyone know? So we won't be eating that. It's what? Shaka? Okay. And what is... Well, shaka is the next one. Shaka. Yes, S-A-K-A. I'm asking, what is kalami? K-A-L-A-M-I. We might be. Patola. What's patola? What is it? A little vegetable? All right. Eggplant, meat, fish, liquor, oil massage, illicit sex, grains cooked by others. So one is advised to give up those things. We have a start on that. One should eat once a day, haveshana. So that's a very austere thing. I was thinking this morning, I was at home preparing for this, and I was thinking of the refrigerator, and there's a snack in there. What can I say? No, actually, let me just try to get through the morning program at least. So, when I saw this, I was reading this for groups in Bombay, and I said, you know, grains, all grains, you know, essentially make every day an ekadasi. Very, very austere. But I was thinking, why not? You know, so we'll see. Anyway, it's auspicious. It's very auspicious to take on these vratas. You can't imagine how auspicious it is. It's very practical. Whatever you desire, all the different things you desire in your life, you can get these things by taking on these different vratas, and by extending your austerity in a simple way. And Krishna is so appreciative. He's so appreciative of this. Of course, the objective of our austerities in Krishna consciousness are to get Krishna, to get love of God, to get Krishna prema. That's the objective. We don't have any other scheme or hidden agenda, really. If you do, it's a mistake. One should increase one's devotional service by performing more deity worship, hearing and speaking about the Lord, by extra japa of the Lord's name, worshiping Tulsi, staying awake at night, chanting, visiting holy tirthas, and offering lamps to the Lord. One should worship Radha Damodar and recite the Damodarastika daily. Specifically in the month of Damodar, one should daily worship Lord Damodar and take bath in the morning, give charity, and follow a fasting vow. This is the duty of Vaishnavas. These are different Hari Bhakti Vilas and different Skanda Puranas. They're basically, I'm just going to read through it, maybe a little bit repetitious. O Brahmins, any person who tries to observe Kartik month without following the rules and regulations properly, Lord Sri Krishna remains against them, because this month, Kartik, is very pleasing to him. O son of Nanda, those Brahmins who do not give charity in the month of Kartik, perform sacrifice, chant japa, and fast for Lord Hari, are the lowest of mankind. The month of Kartik is the topmost of all other months. It is the most meritorious and purified of all other months, all other pure months. There is no other month equal to Kartik, and there is no other yuga equal to Krita Yuga. There are no other scriptures equal to the Vedas. There are no other places of pilgrimage equal to the Ganges. Therefore, the month of Kartik is very dear to the Vaishnavas, people dedicated to Vishnu. Among all 12 months, the month of Kartik is dear to Lord Krishna. If somebody performs a little worship of the Lord Hari, Lord Sri Hari, in this month, he offers that devotee his own abode. This statement is true. Whether one usually eats, or whatever one usually eats, if he gives up some of the ingredients of it in the month of Kartik, then he achieves the same auspicious form as Lord Sri Krishna undoubtedly. Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks in the Digdarshini Tika, those who are engaged in eating daily and following the rules of Kartik, they should try to minimize and give up certain ingredients in eating. Obtaining the same form as Krishna means that it liberates one from the miseries of this material world and gives all auspiciousness and happiness. O great sage, after giving up all varieties of religious functions, one should follow Kartik fast and listen to the narrations of Sri Hari before his deity form. Any person in the month of Kartik who eats on a leaf plate of palasa, the remnants of the Lord, becomes free from all sins and achieves liberation. Besides brahmanas, twice-born persons, others are not advised to eat from this leaf because this leaf is said to be the leaf of the Supreme Lord. Any person who performs bathing in the month of Kartik, remaining awake, offering lamps, giving charity, or planting and transplanting tulsi, he achieves the same form as Lord Sri Vishnu. Just as by rubbing two sticks of wood, one can see fire, so by offering a burning ghee lamp, or ghee wick, to the Lord in the month of Kartik, one can see merits without a doubt. In his Digdarshini Tika, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, even though fire is present in all pieces of wood, still without rubbing, fire does not manifest. Similarly, in all kinds of functions, although merit is available by offering lamp in this month, certainly one can see the merit, not otherwise. Of this there is no doubt. Therefore, without offering lamps, all merits are unprofitable. This is the essence here. It's amazing. O sage, a person who does not offer a ghee lamp at Lord Keshava's temple in Kartik, that foolish person is not addressed as a Vaishnava. And this is the famous story of the rats. One rat, a female mouse, had once burnt a ghee lamp, which was offered by someone else on Ekadasi day. By doing so, she achieved a rarely achievable human form and at last attained the topmost destination. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes in his Digdarshini Tika, in this verse it is found that it is possible to attain the results of directly offering a lamp on Ekadasi. This history of the mouse is very famous in the Padma Purana, Kartika Mahatmya. In the temple of Lord Vishnu, there was a mouse living who was eating the ghee from the extinguished ghee lamps, which had been offered by others to him, to the Supreme Lord. One day, when she felt hungry to eat ghee, she tried to eat the ghee from a lamp which was not yet extinguished. While eating ghee from the lamp, the cotton wick got stuck in her teeth. Since the ghee wick had a flame, the mouse started jumping in front of the Lord's deity form and thus died due to fire. But Lord Sri Vishnu accepted the jumping of that mouse with a lit ghee wick in her mouth as his arti. In the end, he gave her liberation, the topmost destination. So you can imagine, if the mouse is getting so much credit, so much mercy by her just jumping around, what great opportunity we have to actually worship the Supreme Lord in a mood of awe and reverence. Although a child, Dhruva Maharaj, during the month of Kartik in the area of Mathura, worshipped Lord Sri Damodar and immediately became fixed in his devotion. He became worshipable by Sanaka and the other sages and saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So that was Dhruva Maharaj's austerities of doing the month of Kartik, part of it anyway. Of course, it was 6 months there. But he was benedicted immediately. And we can expect also some very wonderful benedictions. But again, the benediction that we're after is this love of Krishna, this prema bhakti. Once one attains prema bhakti, once he actually gets a taste for the loving devotional service of Krishna, then he's no longer satisfied on any level of material or any material standard. He doesn't care for kingdoms or palaces or even universes. He doesn't want to be the maintainer or the controller of any particular place. He simply wants to engage in the service of Sri Krishna. So one should take a fasting vow for the month of Kartik without any laziness. On the Ekadasi, which falls the night in the light part of the month, Ashvina, September and October. There's also, I had a very nice book at my disposal when I was in Mumbai, this book by Mahanidhi Swami, and he has some very nice statements about Kartik. There's the last 5 days of Kartik, of Bhijma. They basically outline a system of fasting, renunciation, eating only once a day, and this is a very, very auspicious time for making spiritual advancement. Oh, beautiful lady, specifically, we should not take a vow of fasting in the Kartik month in the home or the house. Always the endeavor should be made to go to a place of pilgrimage to take this vow and observe it there. Among all other gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Lord Krishna. Therefore, in the month of Kartik, one should worship Lord Damodar with Srimati Radharani near him. In the month of Kartik, one should daily worship Lord Damodar and sing the Damodarastika, the 8 prayers of Lord Damodar, which pleases Lord Damodar, written by the sage named Sarvatra. Satyavatra. There we go. O Brahmins, in the beautiful Govardhan area, there is a Radhakund, a lake of Radharani, which is very dear to Lord Sri Krishna. One who takes bath in it on the 8th day of the dark moon night of Kartik becomes very dear to Lord Sri Hari. Sri Sanatana Goswami remarks in this Digdarshini Tika that although by taking bath in Radhakund one becomes very dear to Lord Sri Hari, still if he takes bath anywhere in the name of pleasing Lord Hari, he pleases him as well. So there is an auspicious opportunity for us to simply, as we take our baths, to remember the Supreme Lord and do this as an offering to him. Of course, we don't usually think of offering things in that level, but this is a most important thing, most important activity. Naturally, everyone is very much inclined towards bathing and keeping oneself clean. But doing it for the glory of the Supreme Lord, as an offering to the Lord, this is something that we sometimes miss. There's so many different opportunities to serve Krishna in so many different ways. But sometimes we're thinking, well, this is just a routine that we go through. But actually, these routines are set up by the Supreme Lord in such a way that we can constantly be have him in our remembrance. So many opportunities are there. If one who stays in Mathura area worships Govardhan and goes around it, he goes to the abode of Lord Hari and stays there happily. On the mid part, in the second day of the light, in the month of Kartik, one should worship Yamaraj and take bath in Yamuna. If he does so, he will not have to go to the abode of Yamaraj. So we have so many different protections from Lord Yamaraj. O Narada Muni, one who fasts on Prabodhini, when the Lord gets up, Ekadasi, does not enter again into the womb of another mother. Therefore, a person should give up all varieties of occupations and fast on this particular Ekadasi day. One who fasts with one-pointed intelligence on the day when the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, who sleeps on the bed of the enemy of Garuda, the snake, goes to take rest in the milk ocean on the bed of Anantasesha, and also the day he gets up, gets all his desires fulfilled. So this is a auspicious day. The Prabodhini Ekadasi is famous for rewarding devotion to Lord Sri Hari. Though best of the sages, Narada Muni, the personality of Ekadasi is present on this earthly planet in an unmanifested form of Lord Hari. So, in the month of Kartik, any person, if he worships Lord Vishnu with malati, white jasmine flowers, whatever sinful activities are registered for him by Yamaraj, death personified, are removed. Any person who offers lotus flowers to Lord Narayan, the dearest personality of Lakshmi Devi, in the month of Kartik, Lakshmi Devi resides with him for hundreds of births. Jai. So these are some of the benefits of Kartik. It's also known as the month of Radha Damodar, and there's many stories about Radharani. One of the stories, of course, of Radharani is that she had some meeting with Lord Krishna, and she was a little upset. He had he'd been looking at some other gopi, and so she felt a little distracted. And she decided to tie him up. So she tied him up also with creepers and vines and kept him in their in their kunj there for some time. So Lord Krishna is captivated by Damodar. He's tied up by Mother Yasoda, but he's also tied up by Radharani. And this period of Kartik is coming. The name Kartik is actually a name for Kirtita, and for Kirtita is Radharani's mother, and Kartik is another name for Radharani. So we can appreciate the opportunity to join intimately into the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and have his association by dint of relishing those pastimes. That is our situation in the material world now at this point, that we are relishing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in preparation for actually taking part in them. So, I'll go on and just say a few things about Murari Gupta. This is his disappearance day. This is the Murari Gupta wrote a book called the Sri Chaitanya Charita. And he belonged to the Vaidya physician family in this printed out with the Shris, the S's come out with a C with a thing. I guess it's do you know where the family of Murari Gupta was? Huh? Shihawa. It's printed out here in some kind of diacritic and I can't read it. Anyway, the paternal home of Lord Chaitanya, and later became a resident of Navadvip. He was among the elders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya exhibited his Varaha form in the house of Murari Gupta, as described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhyalila, third chapter. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his Mahaprakash form, he appeared before Murari Gupta as Lord Ramachandra. Of course, Murari Gupta was Hanuman. In previous life, he was devotee Hanuman, and he was a servant of Lord Ramachandra. So in this particular lifetime, Lord Chaitanya tried to convince him to become a servant of Radha Krishna. So he was arguing with Lord Chaitanya about this, and then eventually he said, I'll try to, but he couldn't do it. He just couldn't give up Lord Ramachandra. So when Lord Chaitanya came to know of this, he was very pleased. He was very happy that Murari Gupta remained steadfast in his devotion to Lord Ramachandra. It was just in Mumbai, and they had some very, very beautiful deities there. They have deities of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and they're very, very, very lovely. I think I'm running over here. I'm sorry to be doing that. And I just wanted to say that I was so impressed. The things I saw in India, the thing that impressed me the most was the building site for the temple of Vedic Planetarium. And so I brought a couple of posters back. I don't know, you've probably seen these online or something. There's a place you can go online, Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. It's T-O-V-P, and it's .org. And you can see the construction. I've always had a little bit of an affinity for construction. I felt very amazed and entertained and just excited to see the construction that was going on there. They're taking 2,300 pilings, and they pile them, they drill them into the ground, hammer them into the ground. They're like silos, they're big, round steel things, and they go deep, deep into the ground, about 60 feet, about 23 meters. And then they put a cage, a stainless steel cage down inside. It's rebar. You've seen rebar at the cement works and so forth. This is all welded together and then dropped down inside of these tubes, and then they pour cement, a very high quality, first class mix. Actually, Sadhbhuj, the director of the project, he takes you on a little tour of what they do, and I think it's real. Really edifying and amazing and enlightening, actually, to see how much energy and effort is being made to create a foundation for this building that will last for 1,000 years. They have, Venice, you know, the buildings are built out in the sea, more or less, on very small little islands. So they put down poles, these huge poles of this wood that wouldn't rot for a long time, but now it's started to rot. But These particular pilings, the 2,300 of them, are going down, and they have probably finished about half of the foundation now for different areas of the temple. And they look like a kind of waffle iron kind of thing all over the on the tops of these pilings. So the work is going apace, and by Krishna's grace, there were no floods this year. That was amazing. Even the rains were light in the monsoon area. And so that was a great benediction. The work went ahead without any impediments. It could have been stopped for months if there had been flood. So Krishna's, it's so incredibly enlivening and rewarding to see this going on now. For most of us, our lives in Krishna consciousness, we have been anticipating the building of this temple. For myself, at least 35 years, I've been waiting, you know, to see when will this happen, what will go on, when will be due. And by a special mercy, we have the prime donor for this here, living in our temple, and it's very very nice to have that happening. Ambarish deserves so much credit for sticking with this project for so many, many years, when things were so difficult with the authorities and so many different financial problems were there. But he has made his contribution, and work is going on apace, and they expect that within 3 years they'll have the superstructure of the building up. Another few years after that, they should have it clad. So, thank you very much. with glories to your service. Any questions or comments? Jai, Hare Krishna.